This is a Hope 103.2 podcast.
And the Oscar goes to...
And the Oscar goes to...
Can't move, I can't say.
Please be kind, especially when we don't know what's going on.
So what I got.
Movies are dreams that you never forget.
Well, welcome back to the watch list. I'm Laura. Russ, hello.
How are you? You know what? I've been meaning to say for so long that you are an unsung hero to me, Laura. And so I'm looking forward to talking about this amazing movie called Unsung Hero.
Yeah, I should call you an unsung hero as well. But why don't we set this up for people? Because if you're a fan of the band For King and Country, you may already have a bit of insight into what this movie, this story, Unsung Hero might be about. But what about the rest of us? What is this one about?
Yeah, I think it's really worthwhile saying, because I look forward to talking about this, because I think this definitely goes beyond just being for fans of For King and Country or Rebecca St. James. This is the story of the Smallbone family, which is, there are all of their surnames, if you're not aware of that. Their father, David, was a promoter in Australia for years and lost a fair bit of money in one of the tours. And so they chose to move to Nashville to try and kind of get closer to the industry. But unfortunately, it was a little bit more difficult than they thought it was going to be. They went through a lot of different hardships and challenges when they got there as a family of eight at the time. And as they were kind of going through all these various struggles, one of the things that they really leaned into was their faith and how they were able to kind of grow closer together as a family. And this kind of led them to kind of making different decisions and choices, some good and some bad, that led them to eventually introducing who we know now as Rebecca St. James to the music industry.
Yeah, and I actually really like that, you know, we got the opportunity to be part of the Sydney premiere for this, right? So you had Joel and his brother Luke there as For King and Country explaining some of the story. You had mum and dad, Helen and David Smallbone too. Some of the cast, like everybody's there telling, you know, more of the behind the scenes of the story and why it was so significant. And one of the things I really noticed and appreciated was that in the movie, Helen Smallbone, the mum, she's meant to be, you know, the unsung hero of their lives, right? And some people listening may identify with this, but in her experience, she's looking after the kids. She's got to navigate all of the ins and outs of moving to an entire new country with so many children and helping them to keep some sense of adventure and faith in the midst of what is a really, you know, financially challenging time for the family. I love that the movie acknowledged that within this story, but also that it did give us more of the story of Rebecca St. James, who is the biggest sister, the first artist to come out of this really talented family. And that, I think, for a lot of viewers might be the surprising part, that this isn't like an origin story of For King and Country directly, even though, yes, it explains like how, you know, their family got to have the sort of prominence within the music industry that it does. But it actually goes, hey, Rebecca was a real key driver in terms of how the talent of both her and then the brothers got eventually recognized over the years.
You know, see, that's the thing I really loved about this film, because after watching it again, I really appreciate it. Because now, granted, I grew up with, I mean, going back and seeing Stryper and Amy Grant and Carmen and all these artists that I remember growing up with myself. And then to see Rebecca St. James, which was really prominent in my older daughter's lives, but then to have For King and Country, for those of you who love this industry, the music industry, specifically the Christian music industry, you're going to love this film. But that's really secondary. It's so interesting how it's a secondary thing. And they do celebrate Helen's role as the unsung hero, being the mother, kind of the one that's least known from all of the family standpoint. But yet, this is a beautiful film that I think anybody could go to see, regardless if you're familiar with these artists at all, and really enjoy faith and family being played out. And really seeing some very raw moments. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm sitting there, David Smallbone, the father, is walking in, his son is playing him on the screen, and there are some really challenging moments in this film. And so I love the fact that they didn't really hold back as far as showing that they went through some really low lows in their marriage and in their family, but yet how God really kind of met them where they were. And so, I don't know, I think this is one that is really a great celebration of the music industry, but it really is one that's meant for family and faith.
Yeah, and it's not something that's exclusive. Like, one of the things I appreciated about it, because yes, this is a generalization, but with a lot of Christian movies, the faith aspect is very much at the front and can sometimes be a bit alienating. If you're not, if you're not somebody who has an understanding of faith context or culture and some of the language or ideas used within Christian community, you can watch a movie that ties to faith and it can just feel, even for Christian audiences at times, a little bit niche, a little bit too much in the bubble, so a little bit uncomfortable and corny and all of these things that are so unfortunate for these kind of stories. But I really appreciated with Unsung Hero, it wasn't featuring faith in a way or the idea of Christianity in a way that was alienating or sappy or like driven with some particular kind of agenda. What it was doing was showing the story of a family who've had to make some really difficult decisions, who've gone through some horrible stuff from a professional standpoint that has then had personal ramifications. And for this family, their faith was something that helped them navigate through that. But then as a family, as parents for David and Helen, they had to find a way to teach their kids, and in their instance, through faith, how to find direction, how to find belief that, you know, things were going to get better, and how to practically apply their faith in a way that was going to help them get through some of the stuff they were dealing with by moving to the other side of the country with very little finance, at times none, right? Like it's a... It's just an example of how faith can give us hope, I think, and how to do that within a family context.
Well, you know what? And I don't want to overdo it as far as us talking about the premiere itself, but then to get to meet them. I mean, we saw the film before, but then we get to meet them and you realize, oh, these people are real. I mean, they're very authentic, very accessible. And you can actually see the fruits of this film, that it wasn't just kind of played out for the sake of the cinema, that people would be able to enjoy this. It was really, these people are pretty true to themselves and true to the story. And so I really appreciated that about them. And I agree with you. I think that this is something that really for families to be able to kind of get out and enjoy, you're not going to have the cringe factor. I love the fact that they actually went after some of the humor, especially with kind of the culture clash that occurs, them moving over to Nashville and kind of dealing with the accents that we got over there. And so within all of that, it wasn't just making fun of it. It's actually just showing, oh man, it is such a different area of the world. We can't assume everybody just kind of lives the same way.
No, and this is in the 90s as well, like 90s Australia going into, you know, 90s America. There were some little bits that gave you a sense of the, you know, the sort of cultural context of that era.
Oh, totally. And so kind of even have it making fun of themselves in a way and be able to show how that transition was kind of a challenge. But I really found that the messaging was on point. It was one that you could invite a friend to. I mean, I think that this is one that you could easily invite a friend to kind of come along and see. Probably about the only thing, if I had a criticism, is it kind of left me wanting more. It's one of those rare films I'm going, oh, okay, cool. We just got to the beginning of this, of Rebecca St. James' career, but then, oh, what happened next?
You know? I did have someone asked me at the end of the movie, they're like, do you know if they're going to do a sequel? Because how did, like, it doesn't cover the window of time between Rebecca St. James and her career really taking off to then how you get to where For King and Country are right now with the Grammys and the movie making and all of this kind of stuff. So could there be a sequel, right? Like you're not the only one who was left wanting more, but I don't know that they would do a sequel directly about this story because I do think it covers enough in what it does. And it just gives you to do more, I think would pull it apart in a way that's just going to be overdone a little bit.
I think so. And you know, and that also gets it into more of the niche of kind of wanting to know more about For King and Country. This is really more of the Small Bones story. I don't know if I necessarily want a sequel, but I did definitely want to kind of know a little bit more about their backgrounds and things like that. So if that was the pushback for me, I guess that would probably be it. But
they're letting there be a spin-off opportunity for a spin-off TV series.
Oh yeah, definitely. The thing is that this thing didn't happen just in a bubble. It kind of showed the fact that, you know, this was kind of the beginning of some kind of significant times, because the fact that Eddie DeGarmo is sitting there also just discovering DC Talk, at the same time. And so you're just kind of looking at all of these things they're not even mentioned. They're just like shown in a magazine article or something like that. You're kind of going, wow. So yeah, it was great to kind of reminisce, but then on top of it, I think that it's one that really kind of transcends time. It was set in the 90s, but I think it transcends it in the sense of showing the value of family.
Yeah.
I just really loved all of those aspects of it.
But then I think it's important to mention as well that there's not this idea that this family is perfect, you know, because I think it can be so easy. It can be so easy with a story like this, or when, you know, for better or worse, an ecosystem is created around the story of the Smallbone family, of Rebecca, of For King and Country. And you just go, my goodness, the way that you guys have worked together as creative talents, as business minds, as videographers, and just the creative skill set that is within this family is quite remarkable. But they do a good job, and thankfully a very honest job, I think, in showing the fact that they are flawed, and that there's not what I'm trying to say is this isn't a branding exercise in, hey, look at us, and aren't we this perfect Christian family?
Exactly.
Because I don't think people would embrace it, and people wouldn't want to watch that, I don't think, because you go, you may know how to pray and you may know how to gather the family and you may know how to work together, but surely you have your hard days. And I think what is good is that they do show that on screen. Like, each character in their own way has their own story and their own kind of faith journey to navigate. And I think it is in David's, the dad's story, that you really see more of that. Like, without going fully into what we see in the movie, the idea of fatherhood is something that he really wrestles with, right? Like, what is the responsibility of a quote unquote good father? Where is his identity found? You know, is it in his work reputation? Is it in his ability to get opportunities as a promoter or not? And what does it mean to him when his family can achieve things without him that they may not be able to achieve with him? And what does it mean for his wife, who he's, you know, been married to for this many years? Is he potentially ruining her life, you know, with some of the mistakes that he makes in his own career? Like, there's some really real, big, full-on questions of identity and meaning and purpose and stuff that we see raised within this movie too, that I think it's worth mentioning that, right? Like, this isn't a movie that you watch going, you know, what are my three takeaways for how to be the perfect Christian family? You know, because let's be honest, that does not exist.
Exactly. Or how can I make it into the music industry? That is definitely not one of those things, because this is definitely, you wouldn't necessarily want to go through this path as a means of getting into it. But I think what, encircling back to it, because I really love what you're saying, because I think it was a hard truth as far as what it is to be a good father, but then also confronting the pride issue that came out. That was one of the major dialogue that went on in one of these very intense scenes, and the pride issue of a man, and it's kind of looking at what is the expectation, what am I doing, but yet how our pride can get in the way.
Yep.
Then also circling back to what you started off with, and I still think it's really worth saying, the value of a film like this is showing the value of the quiet one that's in the background that you don't necessarily see. You're not really aware that they may be there, but those who are back there supporting the family, those that are supporting all that's going on around them, and they're really the glue that kind of keeps it all together. And I really find that mothers definitely fulfill this role, but I think especially parents, how we can actually take a back seat sometimes. We may not get all the limelight, but how we definitely can really be able to show that. And I think it's really a beautiful thing. I found that this movie did that, but then also you see it in the children that they were kind of able to raise.
And it's interesting, having had the opportunity to speak to some of the cast, to speak to the family about why they made this movie, what their intention was with it. Helen herself has spoken about how significant it is that there is a movie like this that's talking about family in a time where family and the power of it. And I say that, I just also stress to point out that family does not mean mum, dad, biological children, and necessarily right? Like, this is the people that you call your family, that you accept as family in whatever form that comes to you, right? So let's just make sure that's understood. But in what Helen speaks about, you know, she's saying that there is an importance to that unit that is sometimes undervalued or disregarded in society right now, because there is so many demands on our time, right? There is so many things that we have to give our attention to. But what she was really hoping from this movie, and I think what you see, even if you just watch it, is that people would kind of resonate with this idea of the importance of investing in the people that we are shoulder to shoulder with and that we have within our households and that are part of that unit. Like, there's a key line in this movie. I believe it's a Mother Teresa quote. I think that's who it's attributed to. You know, that if you want to go and change the world, you start by loving your family. And that's, I think that's kind of, like, that's my version of it. But I think it's like, that's kind of the real takeaway with this. You know, if we want to do these big, grand things, and what, you know, the career of the many members of this family shows. Like, the big stuff is out there, but actually where the power of that began was in how they work together as a family unit and the mm-hmm. kind of faith mission, the spiritual focus that really has shaped them from kids up until now. Like, it sort of all begins at home, essentially, is what this movie is trying to say.
Yeah, definitely the value of it. So, well, okay, so saying all that, I think we both can kind of say what we're going to say as far as would it go on the watch list. But if you were to put it on the watch list, Laura, and you want to invite somebody to kind of come along, what would you say about this film? It's more than just a faith-based film, right? There's something more to this movie. What would you say if you were inviting one of your friends to come along? Because I don't know about you, I'd definitely put this thing on the watch list, but I'd love to hear what your thoughts are inviting somebody to come along.
I think, yes, obviously I would invite someone to come along. I probably wouldn't tell them, I wouldn't go like, hey, there's this great Christian movie out. You should join me, because that's not what it is. And that's not actually why I think you should see it. I think it's, that's how I speak to my friends. I think that it's like the most powerful parts of this movie that resonated with me. And I'll answer your question by going through this, okay? So there's this scene where the family, the kids, mom and dad, they're all sitting on the floor together in an unfurnished lounge room. And they're like, essentially, it's like, guys, we're in a bit of a pickle. We are going to have to pray. We're all going to have to work together if we think this is going to happen and we're going to get to where we need to go. So they make a list of things literally on their wall of like, what are we praying, like asking God for? What are we thanking God for? And every single day, this thing of thankfulness and like, hey, God, we still need this, frames the way they go about their day. And the reasons why I think I would invite someone to this movie and why I think it's valuable is that it kind of is an opportunity to re-anchor yourself in some of those fundamental things that help you see the miracles that are around us in everyday life, right? And the kind of faithfulness of God in everyday life. Like, when you can actually go, this is what I'm asking for and this is where I've seen you do something, it kind of just puts your headspace in the right place to go, oh yeah, there's actually like stuff God is doing in my life, and the reason why I don't always see it is just because I'm not paying attention. So I would invite somebody along to say, this is just going to help reorient your perspective in life a little bit and give you a bit more gumption to pray, to believe, to have faith that God actually acts in our lives. He sees the details and he cares, and everything else about the music industry and about what you believe from a faith perspective is kind of all out there in the background. But it's like, you can actually pray. You can see answers to that. You can have faith and God cares are the big takeaways for me in parts of this movie. What about you? What would you say to invite somebody?
You know, I think I'm going to take it very personal, because in the sense that this movie hit me because we kind of had our family's in the music industry necessarily. It's just that we kind of had the opposite experience. And so for a movie that just touched me, in the sense of seeing the culture jump, moving to another country, experiencing what they experience, so much that you have to rely on one another and seeing the value of a family. I almost felt like I'm going, it's kind of the opposite for me, but yet it is almost like kind of seeing a portion of our story when we came along. And I'd love to be able to share that with you. And so to be able to say that to somebody and say, you really be able to see this in so many ways. And, it just was one of those films that really grabbed my heart in an unexpected way, because I really kind of went in with a little bit, oh, well, you know, it's a typical faith-based film kind of thing.
We're so judgmental about faith-based films.
I know you do. Well, but you see them, you do. But then it was a pleasant surprise. It was one of those things that really kind of confronted me, even kind of hitting as a father in my hitting my own pride and seeing the fact that this is a film that really touched my heart. I really love to share that with the world. And hopefully people are able to get out and see this. I think it's definitely worthwhile.
Yeah. It's like encouraging about faith on the edges, right? Like if yourself, you know, moving from America to Australia, basically any situation in life where you're like, okay, if this is going to work, God is going to have to come through. Like it kind of, it hits, I think, in a lot of unexpected ways, as you've said. So for everybody listening right now, you can very much tell, yes, Unsung Hero is on our watch list.
On the watch list.
And watch it and be surprised, I think, is really the takeaway here. Like, there's going to be a lot of things you think you're going to get from this movie. You might get some of them. You might also get some really great surprises. But thank you for joining us on the watch list. Make sure that you rate, review this podcast wherever you're listening. Subscribe, share it with a friend. You can find video versions of some of these conversations on the Hope 103.2 YouTube channel as well. I'm Laura. Russ, goodbye. We'll see you next time.
All right. Hey, always love it, and hope you go out and enjoy Unsung Hero.